Are you wearing clothes, lube wrestling?
Like we drag lube wrestle, so you can wear.
Oh, in drag.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't wear a wig when I do it, but some people wear
wigs.
Does
it like take your makeup off? I've seen people try and like use lube to take makeup off.
It didn't really ruin mine that much.
I've also seen people
also
try
didn't
to
get
use
much on my face.
Lube as a primer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not good for you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of
Flapping and Fawning.
Speaking of intros, Flapjack!
My tummy hurts, but I'm being really brave about it. Fawn.
And you've got a face I could come all over, Patty Bouvray.
Oh, my. Patty, welcome.
Thanks. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for Miss Magic City Comedy Queen, but also to record an episode of Flapping and Fawning with us. Can you just start by sharing a little bit about yourself and your drag with our listeners and your pronouns?
Absolutely. Well, I am Patty Bouvray. I am the sensibly petite 5'18" Broadway and comedy diva of Oklahoma City. I am also the current National Miss Comedy Queen.
Slay.
Work. And my pronouns are he, him, out of drag, she, her, in drag.
It's okay. There won't be a quiz later. So
I always feel awkward asking that because I genuinely don't have a preference of pronoun. It doesn't bother me, but I know it does for other people. So
yeah.
I always feel bad saying it doesn't bother me, but it doesn't bother me.
I mean, everybody's gender is different. Some people it doesn't bother them. Some people it does. So
yeah. I don't mind they, them either. So it doesn't like
Slay.
It genuinely.
I mean, much like an STD, it's a spectrum, right? You can have so many, so little.
When I taught elementary school, I would get called Miss a lot.
Really?
And it wasn't because they thought I was a woman. It was just because they're not used to a man being in elementary school. They're used to saying like Miss Jones, mm-hmm. Miss Johnson, Miss Smith. And so when there was a man, they were just like Mr. Maston. And I was like, it's fine.
I once had this really funny person message me, and I think they were just really young, and they said they were trying to book a drag show, right? But they started the message with Mr. Flapjack, sir.
I'm gonna start calling you that.
Hey, Mr. Flapjack,
Mr. Flapjack, sir.
There is this okay, so there's a place in I believe it's Fayetteville, Arkansas that I drive by every time I do shows in Arkansas, but it is called like Flapjack's Diner or something.
Yeah.
And I always mean to take a picture of it, but it's on like this curve that like, I don't know, the speed limit's like 60 on this curve. And I'm like, I can't safely take a picture of this place. So next time I'm just going to pull into the parking lot.
Safety queen.
So, but it looks like a really fun font that you would use and put the name Flapjack in.
I think I've had someone stop there and buy me a t-shirt from that place. Because doesn't it have like a woman on it holding a stack of Flapjacks?
So. Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, next time you drive by it, if you can get me a size large, because they got me a small. And I was so kind, but I have gained a lot more weight.
We'll do an XL crew neck sweater, so it doesn't matter what size you are. You can just be oversized sweater.
I'll turn it into a dress. Yeah, I really wanted to do something with it. I think I still have it in like my spare fabric bag. I was like going to turn it into a gown or something, but I just never did.
That would be really cute.
Take the logo and put it on like an apron. Do like a whole
or a belt.
Cooking
a
number.
Belt.
Yeah, like a gorgeous ladies of wrestling belt. I don't know why that's on my mind, but you know, like I won a wrestling match, but I'm pancakes.
But you haven't even done lube wrestling yet.
Well. I need to change that.
You need to do lube wrestling next time it comes around.
Have you ever lube wrestled before, Patty? Y'all don't do that in Oklahoma City.
This isn't just a joke. This is a thing that happens.
No, this is a thing. Not the reigning. Somebody did the one after me and won, but I didn't do that
one. They got to pass down their crown.
What?
In like a kiddie pool with lube and wrestling.
Patty's like, that's just a Tuesday night. What are you talking about?
What are we doing later?
Honestly, at Al's.
I love winning.
Could you imagine lube wrestling at Al's?
It would work. It would be such a slay. Like on that little runway, just like having the giant thing.
A loop slip and slide.
Oh my god. Because I did it at Spikes before Spikes closed, and then it moved to the Nick, and I don't know if they're going to bring it. I'm sure they'll bring it back, but I don't know when.
I
hope they do.
I want to get tickets for the Splash Zone.
It was fun. I would do it again. I'm told them they need to do it enough times that we can have just like a full winner's bracket.
Oh, slay. Yeah.
Do you like March Madness?
Yeah.
But lube wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I want to like go up against all the other winners and still win. Because people underestimate me. I'm tall. So like I've got the lankiness. Yeah. So I can like spread out. Even though I'm skinny, that means I'm also easy to get away from. I can get out easier.
Right?
Oh, wait. Who's taller between the two of you?
I'm 6'4".
I'm 6'6". Or as I said before, a sensibly petite 5'18" wow. inches.
You're more than a foot taller than me. Oh my god.
Damn. I'm not used to being not the tallest person in the room.
Well, we're sitting, so it's okay.
Well, Patty has been, since she's been in Birmingham, been like, oh my god, so many tall people here.
I know. I'm like, I might have to spend a little longer here, find myself a little romance.
You might. Who knows? But they're probably all college kids, so... Well, Patty, what has it been like for you over the last year? You've been traveling around, like, how's life?
It's been a dream with a couple of nightmares, but it's been really great. Yeah, some months have been definitely busier than others. Like November, I think I was home in Oklahoma like 6 days of the month. Which was crazy.
Only 6 days?
Yeah, I was home for like the day of Thanksgiving. And that was it for that week. Like,
jeez.
Kind of nuts. But also kind of the dream. I went to school for theater and moved to New York to try and do theater. And the dream was always like get on a national tour and tour the country. And now I'm doing that just a little in a different costume.
Yeah.
And you're getting to do what you want to do.
Yes.
Rather than somebody else's role that was chosen for you.
I'm my own director and choreographer and costumer and everything, which is more work, but it's more payoff mentally anyway. So
absolutely.
I could not imagine like being a national title holder and all the like requirements of like going around to all the prelims, because I saw Paris do it when she was EOY and I was just like, I know she's exhausted.
It is exhausting, but like it's a good.
Yeah.
Exhausting.
It's like it's rewarding exhausting.
Yeah.
What's been like the wildest thing that's happened to you in this journey over the last year? Are you allowed to say?
I mean, what do you mean by wildest?
I don't know. Like if there was something that like really shocked you, like, I mean, obviously people drink at pageants. So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there's some element to that, but I don't know. Have you had one where you're like, oh my God, this prelim's been a bender.
I mean, the most shocking thing was going to the airport and finding out that the person who bought my flight got duped and like basically got a fake flight, and it was like 6 a.m. and so no one was answering the phone, and of course this fake company is not like answering the phone because they're not a real company.
Oh my
god. And me looking at my phone and being like, well, if I start driving now I can make it to Pensacola before
holy the shit
tonight.
Oh, no.
So I started at like 6:30 in the morning and drove 13 hours and made it to Pensacola.
I didn't realize that you drove because you had to. I remember when I saw you in Pensacola, you mentioned that you had drove. And oh my God. I thought you were just road tripping.
Yeah, no. So that was kind of wild. But the drive really didn't seem that long. I don't know if I was just like optimistic or like, I fixed the problem myself.
How many hours would that be?
So it was 13 there and 13 back.
Oh.
It can honestly be nice sometimes, though. Like, since I walk to work now, I really miss driving sometimes because I love podcasts and, you know, I can just, it's a really easy way to just like check in with like the stuff going on in the world, you know?
Yeah. And like, I mean, I don't condone taking prescription drugs that are not yours, but I did borrow an Adderall for the ride home. And man, those hours flew by.
Oh, I'm sure.
The furthest I've driven for a gig was 5 hours, and that was to Gulfport, Mississippi. And the first time I was booked there, I went by myself. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I can do this. It's not as bad as it wasn't as bad as I expected. But the second time I was like, I was dating Mark at the time. We had like just started dating, and I was like, do you want to go with me on this? That way I don't have to drive by myself 5 hours. And it was much more enjoyable that time.
What's wild is when you like disassociate and you're like, who drove this car for the last 10 hours?
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoy when I go on family vacations and I get to take my own car and drive by myself, especially after the vacation is over. And I like might leave early, get the car by myself, and I get to decompress from family for like a week.
Yeah. Have that alone time.
What's the farthest you've ever driven for sex? That was the moment of silence.
8 hours?
Just, oh.
7 maybe?
Wow.
Was it worth it? I can't remember. It was in college and that was a long time ago. No, it was not worth it.
Vaughn, I think really like thinking. 2 or 3. Wait, how far is Huntsville from here? That's 2 hours?
That's about an hour and a half.
I think Huntsville is the farthest that I've driven.
I think, have I told my Virginia story before?
The one where your car broke down?
Yeah, I drove 10 hours once for it. And I mean, it wasn't necessarily for sex. Like, I thought I was in love, you know. And when I drove out there and I like told the guy, I was like, hey, I'm going to come see you in 10 hours because that's how long it takes for me to get there. Lunatic, me. Get there and then my car completely breaks down and I end up being trapped with this person because, and he's great. Like, you know, I still really like him. But I just felt bad because I ended up living with him for like a week and a half. It was like holidays and everything that could have gone wrong with my car did go wrong.
Oh, no. Your friend there is snacking on your cord.
Oh, he is.
No.
For those that are not aware, Flapjack had a shoulder kitty for a moment that was nibbling on the cord. And I was trying to pay attention to the story, but I've also heard the story many a time. So I'm just like grinning, looking at the cat.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm a little mad at my cat right now. I got this sweater. I spent a lot of money on it where it has this pouch that he can sit in.
And he doesn't want to get in it?
No! Mm. But he always wants to jump on me and be on my shoulder and shit. You know?
How much was it? Can I ask?
Yeah. It was about $230.
Because I've seen the ad, but I never looked at the price.
Oh my God.
I know. I should have done it. It was bad. It was a bad. I made bad financial decisions.
$230?
Yeah. But I thought it would be so cute. Like, if I could just walk around and then, you know.
I don't think I've spent $230 on just my boy clothes period in the past 5 years.
Right. Like, I'm like, let me buy cheap. I will go to the thrift store. I will like find it on sale.
Normally I do, but I was like, this is a special thing. And like, he does this thing where he jumps on me. Like, he's like, I don't know how to stop it because I will literally come home in drag sometimes, like after a gig, and he will just jump on my shoulder.
I just like imagine you walking in with your giant titties on. And him just like flying across the room.
Do you know about ASOS?
Yes.
Oh, I love ASOS.
I was going to be like, fellow tall person.
Yes.
If you don't know about ASOS, know
the
about
big
ASOS.
And tall. Like they have the.
They don't even have big and tall. It's just the tall.
Yeah.
Which is very inclusive and I appreciate it because I am not big. I am just tall.
I imagine you probably have a hard time finding pants that are long enough.
I get a 32-38 on ASOS.
I could not imagine being a 38. There was a little while that I was wearing a 36, but I now can get away with a 34 somehow. I don't know what changed.
Well, I know you both make clothes. Like, do you ever make clothes for your non-drag self?
I've made tank tops, but like pants are hard.
Just a tank top is all I've made for me out of drag.
Which tank tops are so good. Oh, I've made underwear.
Like, I've made like shirts slack. Too. Marco, like just Marco like cute little like go out shirts that will also be something that I can like use to accessorize in drag with like a fishnet moment.
We can't say that anymore.
Fishnet?
Well,
oh.
Wow.
You got me with that yesterday too.
Yeah, well I made pants for the first time for Seven Santas, but
pants are awful.
It is hard because you could fully see my dick. And they were like, we need you to wear a dance belt flap.
I made a go-go boy costume the other day. I would show you, but you can see my butt in it. It's just a jock strap.
Oh.
So, but it's really cute. I made like a harness and like a bunch of stuff.
I love wearing pants in drag. However, I've made a few pairs and I always hate making them. And I always think I'm doing something wrong.
I can't imagine pockets. I've never attempted pockets and I don't want to.
Same.
The most recent pants that I made, I like did like a professional pant pattern and I had the option of adding pockets. It was like, you can or you don't have to. And I said, we are not.
I don't have to. That's the option I'm going with.
Well, speaking of like making stuff and jock straps. You have some very interesting merch choices, Patty.
I do.
How did you end up coming up with this jock strap idea for your merch?
I just wanted my little cartoon Patty face on people's bulges.
That's honestly iconic.
Have your very own Patty pecker.
Yeah, and some guy wore one and had me sign it.
Oh, really?
I think I saw that.
Yeah, and I
was
like,
you posted that on Facebook, correct?
I've never felt more like a celebrity than and I almost cried. And he had like a tank top on it with my face on it too.
Wow.
Which I think when I put it
so
on.
So he's a Patty fan.
I put it on like, I don't know, not Redbubble. What's the other one? There's like another like merch.
LimeWire.
Yes, I put it on LimeWire. He ripped it from LimeWire. But I think I had like four people buy something off of it, whatever. And he was like one of them. And he came to the Southeast prelim this year in Orlando. And he like came up to me and I was like, oh, I like your shirt. And he like unzipped his pants and pulled them down a little bit. And he was like, I'm wearing your jockstrap too. Will you sign it? And I was just like, I made someone take a picture of me signing in the jockstrap because I was so like, I was starstruck that I was a celebrity, quote unquote, in that moment. So yeah. Buy a jockstrap from me and I'll sign it.
Slay. And I can put a link to the description or a link
the
to
link
that
is like
in the description.
Message me on Facebook.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because I make them myself. I don't have them.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they're like handmade by me.
Wow.
Oh, that's even cooler.
So
I've tried
so
making a jockstrap.
You'll probably
get like
five
once.
Wears on them, but
I tried making a jockstrap once and I'm not entirely pleased with how it turned out, but
you really have to like try it on and figure out like where to put the straps.
Wow. So every jockstrap you have made and sent out to your customers has been personally worn by you?
No.
Oh.
I did it the first time and figured out where I wanted the straps and
go
from the one I made.
I was like, wow, you should like charge extra for that.
I did have someone on Snapchat try and buy underwear for me. They're like, we wear them to the gym for like 5 days in a row and send them, you know, but pay for them. I wanted to be like, sure, but in reality, I'm going to wear them and drag 5 days in a row.
Honestly, that's even better.
Right? They're going to be real ripe for you, sir.
There's like, the drag ripe is so much different than the gym ripe.
Yeah.
And so much worse.
Yeah. I think he would have gotten them been like this.
What did you do? What do you have?
I said 5 days, not 10.
The FBI would have showed up to my house and been like, did you send anthrax to this person via mail? They're dead now.
Oh my God. Well, what has it been like for you? I mean, now that you have so much more notoriety with this national platform, like how has that changed the scope for you, like in terms of dating, but also in the drag world?
Oh my God. I don't know if we have enough time to talk about my dating life. Yes, we do. It doesn't exist.
Okay.
I think I went on one date last year.
Mm.
And it was terrible and reminded me why I don't like going on dates. I'm very much in a place right now where I'm like, I just want to have instantly known someone for 10 years and we just decide, yeah, this works.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to date anyone because this date was so bad. I felt like I was hosting an interview and they were required to give like short form answers.
Oh, I hate that shit.
Like, It was so bad at one point I legitimately asked him what his favorite color was. You know,
I've
a like, date is terrible.
I've like texted people that, but never asked in person on a date.
Yeah. It's like, if I've known you for a while and I'm like, okay, I want to get you a gift and like, can't decide the color or something. Yeah. But
I'm not big on small talk. So when I'm leading the conversation, you know, it is not a good situation.
Is that the worst date you ever had?
No.
What's been the worst?
Oh, what has been the worst? I made a guy cry once. He was just one of those people who like to argue with everything for like no reason.
Yeah.
It'd be
I
like,
can't do that.
It'd be like whatever I said, it was just like, oh, well, I like the opposite. And the dinner was like coming to a close. And basically he just like kept, I don't even know what we're talking. We're talking about like the windows across the street, like in the house across the street from the restaurant, whatever. And he like, I gave my
opinion.
That's
how you know it's going well.
All right. I gave my opinion and he gave his. And I just looked at him. I go, you just like to argue about everything, don't you? And he like got teary eyed, went to the bathroom and was gone for like 5 or 6 minutes. Came back like bloodshot eyes, like red face. And I was just like, so I just paid for the dinner. And then we left and he still asked me, he's like, are you going to come home with me? And I was like, no.
I'm not going to fight with you about this.
It was really uncomfortable and awkward. Then I had a guy who we were like talking during dinner or whatever. And I don't remember looking at his lips, but he just stops and he was like, you're looking at my lips, aren't you? And I was like, what?
Oh, what up?
And he was like, freaky. They're not real. And I said,
what? What do you mean?
I was like, okay. And he was like, do you want to touch them? I was just like, what? And he was like, just touch them. And he like took my hand and put my hand on his lips. And I was like,
wait, this was at like dinner?
This was at dinner.
Freak.
I was like, what, if this had been like in bed or something.
Maybe.
Like after sex or some, you know, like just saying something flirty and like even silly. Even like
it would be more acceptable at the club than it would be at dinner.
Right? No, there were nachos in between us. That's not a joke. He also told me all about how much cocaine he did.
Oh.
And I was like, you know, to each their own, but that sounds like a lot of cocaine.
Snow Queen. Oh my God. That actually.
So many bad dates.
That reminds me of. I once went on this date. I found this guy on Grindr. This was when I was in college. All the worst dates happen in college. And I thought he was going to be really sweet, really cute, like kind of like a golden retriever type. Mm-hmm. And he, like, because his profile picture was him with his dog. And so I messaged him and said, fun fact, your dog. And things like went off from there, right? We get together. But the second I meet him in person, he's super weird and like super shifty. He like had his hood up the whole time and like wouldn't really look me in the eye. And the date, I was like, why don't we get together and go get popsicles? Cause we have like a few popsicle places in Birmingham. And I was like, that's pretty easy. And if things don't go well, then I can like wrap it up when I want. We go to the popsicle place and I had been like really clear, like, you're going to buy your own popsicle. I'm going to buy my own popsicle. I ain't paying for nothing. And then when I went in, he like deliberately ordered in such a way that I had to pay for his, right? Whoa. So like I ordered mine and then he jumped on the back end of it. And I was like, okay, well, that was really weird. And when we got in the car, he told me he had been fired from his gas station job. And that was why he needed me to pay for this popsicle. And I was like, okay, well, just ask next time. That'd be great. Then as we're driving around, just like talking, he finishes his popsicle and then rolls down my window to like throw it out onto the street. Massive red flag, right? Like, yeah, we do not litter. No. And so I was like, yo, don't throw that out the window. And he was like, it's okay. It's like the popsicle stick's made of wood. It'll disintegrate. It's
biodegradable.
That's biodegradable. And I was like, what the fuck? He go, and eventually he was like, oh, I know why you want this. And I was like, why? Why do you think I want this? And he was like, you're making a relic of me, aren't you? I was like, okay, this guy's a fucking freak. I was like, give me the thing.
Who do you think you are? Olga Jesus Jackie?
That's
what I was just thinking.
I was like, you just told me you got fired from the goddamn Circle K. Like, why would I be making a relic of you?
You are not someone that I want to worship for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And then on the way home, he told me that he was going to be the next Elon Musk and that he was going to build.
Molly, you got fired from the Circle K.
He said he was going to build a marijuana powered car. So it was our last date. But it was definitely the most uncomfortable.
I think like the only one that I can think of off the top of my head, because I've long-term dated some really awful people, but just like a one-off date. One time I went to Starbucks with this guy, and like at this point I was working at my job now. He knew that I did drag, and he was like, so when are you going to make me something? He was like one of those younger, like wanted a daddy spoil type. And I'm like, mama, I am in my mid-20s and I am not rich myself. Also, I'm the princess here.
I might be the one with the height.
Like, I'd be at, like, when we were, like, texting before, like, going on the date, one time he was just like, so when are you going to make me something, like, at work, embroider or something? And I thought it was just a joke, but he kept bringing it up. Mm. I'm like, you just expect people to shower you with gifts all the time?
Some people do.
Well, yeah, but that's, like, some people's, like, love language.
Well, I'm not rich enough to do that.
Slay.
Also, if I don't know you well enough, I'm not going to do that. I would do that for Mark if I was rich. But.
Felt. Okay, well, we're going to take a break. But before we do have to make a few plugs. So before we go into that break, first of all, we honestly don't have too many shows coming up to remind y'all of, but we will be announcing some soon as we do our launch for season 3. Just remember, on the second Wednesday of every month, we will be having Drag Bingo at Highwire Brewin. That starts at 7:30 every Wednesday, every second Wednesday. And our next one is on Valentine's Day. So make sure you bring your lovers and your exes so that we can maybe find some true love at Drag Bingo. Patty, you got any plugs? And where can people find you on social media?
Oh, on Instagram, you can find me at the Patty Bouret. That's ThePattyBouret. I'm also on Facebook, and my Venmo and Cash App are iterations of Patty Bouret, and it's probably a picture of me as a boy in a hat. One's with my dead dog, so.
Party.
Pretty cool.
And we are back with Miss National Comedy Queen, Patty Bouret.
Tis I. I'm still here.
All right! I want to get a lead sound engineer to just play the buttons. Because the two sides of my brain that have to think about the conversations and then pushing the buttons, they don't work together, you know? I think it might be because my drag closet caved in and concrete smacked me in the head. And things just haven't been the same ever since.
That's why you need to get a full-on drag room.
Okay, little mix. I'm about to get a house.
Look, I'm about to rent a house, and it's got two rooms that are going to be drag rooms. One's the crafting room, one's the storage room.
Two rooms?
Yeah.
Two additional rooms?
Yeah.
You are spoiled.
I mean, I have two extra bedrooms in my house.
I've still got to get approved. But, yeah. It's like a suite, so the rooms are like got a door between them. They're connected.
Oh, okay.
So we're gonna like have one be storage, one be crafting. Because I do all of my
railroad style. Is that?
I think so.
Railroad. I don't know.
Because I mean, like, I do all my costumes, hair, all of that shit.
I can't do hair at all.
So I need somewhere that I can like have devoted to working on it without making a mess in the common living areas.
That's fair.
What's a railroad style house? Is that like built for living on the railroad?
No, it's so I think it's more of a term for like apartments in bigger cities where like the rooms just they're in like a line to like railroad cars.
Oh, like a shotgun house.
So maybe I don't know if it might be called something different.
Oh, like where you can shoot a gun through it.
Yeah, because all the doors go through. Yeah.
I've heard of that. Wasn't Elvis born in a shotgun house?
Maybe.
But I knew someone who like when I visited New York way like, I don't know, I was probably like 19 or 20. They lived in a railroad style apartment, but their bedroom, like their roommate had to walk through their bedroom to get to his bedroom.
I'd be wanting the bedroom in the back.
Right? It's like, you know, the person with the private bedroom is paying more.
Oh, definitely.
And their roommate was on Broadway and I didn't realize. And I was like, kind of rude to him. Actually, well, that time I was super nice to him. But when I moved to New York and we like happened to like run into each other at a bar or a show or something, I can't remember. But he was like, oh, you're Trevor. And I was like, yeah. I recognized his face, but I didn't remember. I have stayed in this person's apartment for multiple nights.
Isn't that the worst? Like, especially when you do drag, people always expect you to remember them. But
I don't. If I meet you in drag, I do not remember
I don't know
your
who
name.
You are. Yeah. hey, good to see you, sweetie. But speaking of Broadway, something you mentioned to me I didn't know about you was that you have done over 80 theater productions.
Yeah, in some way, shape, or form. Either, so I've done, I mean, performing straight plays and musicals.
Straight plays?
Straight plays. I've played straight characters.
And was it believable?
Probably not. I don't ever get to watch them. I'm just in them. But I've designed sets. I've built sets. I've done choreography, a lot of stuff, a lot of aspects, excuse me, of theater, that total about 80 productions in my 33 years.
That's amazing.
What's your favorite one that you've done?
Okay, I have two. So one is like, my favorite one that I've been in is a play called 39 Steps, where I got to play 18 different characters throughout the show.
Oh.
Which is very fun. And then my favorite, like not on stage, but I was directing, is a musical called Hands on a Hard Body. And it's about a competition where people stand there with their hand on a truck and whoever lasts the longest wins the truck.
Oh, it's like, who's that guy who gives out the money? You know.
I know who you're talking about. YouTuber.
Mr. Beast. He should be a Snatch Game character.
But that kind of competition is like, I've seen that kind of competition in multiple TV shows growing up. Because like that was a very like
it's a 90s, Texas
2000s thing too.
The musical is based off a documentary that happened in Texas. And so all the characters in the musical are based off the real people who like did this competition. I think it lasted like 2 weeks on Broadway. Like it wasn't very well received, but it has a very good message. It has really good music, and it's such a good show for like if you have a lot of strong people that you want to feature, because pretty much every character gets a solo. There's lots of group numbers, not a lot of choreography because their hand is stuck on a truck for the majority of the show. But it was so much fun to do, and it was just so well received by our community because it was a Broadway show made for community theater.
So. Interesting. So is that one, so if it's like a competition, is that one kind of like, so I'm about to be in a production called Pageant, mm-hmm. and if you're familiar with that, it can end differently every right. single show. So, I mean, does it have the same ending, person?
No, it has the same ending every time.
Oh, okay.
But it kind of has still like a little bit of an unexpected ending.
So, ooh.
Who wins, so.
Is Pageant going to be your fourth?
Yes, Pageant will be my fourth like theater production.
I've only done two. Well, my last one is Where I Met My Partner, so.
Weird flex, but okay.
Quality.
I don't ever meet people in theater because I'm always the villain or the like not very desirable funny person.
No, the thing is the play that I met my partner in was Significant Other, and I played the hot, unattainable guy that the main character had a crush on, and that was very unreciprocated. And my partner was the main character, so we always joke about how it's funny. Like we gave it the real happy ending outside of the play.
Oh,
so.
My!
Okay, on stage romance is a real thing that I've never experienced.
So let's talk about National Miss Comedy Queen.
Let's do it.
So I know that we have a lot of people who are listening who are young entertainers who maybe want to be a national title holder someday. So do you have any like advice for finding a system that fits you? Like how did you find Comedy Queen in a way that would fit what you would do?
So the first time I did it, I didn't really know a whole lot about the system. I just knew that when I started drag, people were like, oh, you're funny. And I was like, cool. They were like, you should do this comedy pageant that's happening. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And it was within like my first year of starting drag that I did a prelim. And I think I did like three pageants that month because I was just trying to get like better and improve and, you know, get noticed and everything. So I won that prelim, which qualified me to go to nationals. Where I learned that, oh, this is like a really cool thing. Mm-hmm. Like this is way more than I thought it was. So I was a little in over my head the first year, but I still placed 9th overall, which was a great experience for my first national pageant experience. And it really motivated me to come back and do well. And then I got discouraged because the next prelim I did, I did not win. I got first alternate. But I was like, you know what? I got my ticket back to nationals, so I'm just gonna go and kick butt, and that's what I did, and so I won. So I think if you don't have, and I tell people this all the time, if you're doing something and you ever feel like you've learned everything you can, just you need to stop doing it because you're not passionate about it. Anything you do, if you ever lose the passion to learn or grow, then it should be the end of the road for whatever that is. Because I don't even know what to tell you why you're doing it. if you don't have a drive to continue to improve. And I feel like that a lot of queens hit that mark and don't quit. Mm-hmm. And then they become bitter and they get mad that new people come in and have that drive. And they're like, well, why are you getting the opportunities? I've been doing this for 15 more years than you have. And I'm like, well, here's why. So,
I want to touch back on the fact that, you know, you said you got first alternate at your prelim, mm-hmm. and then went on to win the whole national title.
Yeah.
I mean, what an amazing feat to have happen. Do you have any advice for people who maybe find themselves in a similar situation, like qualifying first alternate, heading into a national pageant?
What was that?
That's my cat.
The oh, okay. cat. It's not like a child.
I mean, same thing.
So I don't know if I really have advice, but I would say if you're anything like me, you're going to use it as motivation. Because I absolutely thrive off people telling me I can't do something. And not that people were telling me I couldn't go win by being first alternate, but in my head I was like, well, let me just show them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That I can take critiques and learn. And have what it takes to win. But
I love that though, because I think that it is difficult sometimes when you receive that feedback and it's not always positive stuff to yeah. not take it personally and to think like, how can I take this feedback and really implement it into what I do? And especially with the contestants we have for Miss Magic City Comedy Queen at the time of recording, you know, we don't know how that the results of that are going to turn out. Yeah. But for all of them, I'm really excited for them to get that feedback. And I just hope that whatever happens, that they take that feedback and learn how to incorporate it into what they do rather than taking it.
Right.
You know,
and not every pageant will give you like the master score sheet where you see everyone's scores, yeah. but Comedy Queen typically does. And so I was able to see and look at like, okay, well, she only beat me by 1 point in gown. She only really beat me by like, I think it was less than 20 points total. So I was like, so really it was pretty neck and neck. I still won two categories out of the five that we do. Gown was still basically a tie because it was 1 point. Like, what's 1 point? Mm. So looking at that, it was a lot more like, I'm someone who has to dissect things like that to make sure like, to, what's the word?
Like to incorporate it into...
Well, to encourage myself.
Yeah. yeah.
Like to be like, okay, yeah, you didn't win, but here's all the positive things that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel like people don't take the time to do that. They just think, well, I didn't win, so blah, I'm not going to do that again. I'm like, well, figure out why. Figure out, oh, well, it really wasn't that big of a difference of winning and losing.
Yeah.
So, you know, take the time to understand why you didn't do as well as you wanted to, I guess. Like, because you may find out you still did really well.
Yeah.
Like losing doesn't mean you did a bad job.
It just means somebody did better that day.
Yeah.
And it can change day to day in a pageant. The same package on a different day, the person may show up and do something slightly different and lose the day, a different day that they might yeah. have won another.
And it can also change based on who's on the judges panel. You yeah. know, it's kind of like with the Supreme Court, not to like go all political all of a sudden, but I took this class in college and the big emphasis that they wanted us to learn was like seven people could be deciding on an issue. But if you change out one person on that panel, something that comes up in that discussion can completely change the decision that's made. So, yeah. you know, it's not a reflection on you. It may just be a reflection on the circumstances of whatever was going on in that particular day.
I also think it's good if you're somebody competing in a pageant not to take the critiques personally, because also the judges are looking for something for that pageant, for that system. Yep. It's not a value statement on your drag. Mm. It's what to help you succeed in what you are currently going for, which is that pageant.
Yeah. And I love that Comedy Queen has such specific categories. Mm-hmm. So like what's like your favorite category to compete in with Comedy Queen?
Well, I love that within our categories, we have subcategories.
Mm.
So that way you can really tell, like, maybe your talent was absolutely hysterical, but there might be two other subcategories that you just didn't meet.
Yeah.
And so that's why it didn't go over well. So you might have gotten a perfect score in comedic value, but the other two subcategories were like, you can improve on these.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually see like this is exactly where I need to improve. My favorite category for Comedy Queen is probably, I just really love presentation.
Ooh,
I always love a presentation.
Like, and I love a scored and judged presentation.
Yes.
Why are pageants still making contestants pay for and use their time to have a presentation that they just wear judge. And they don't score or judge? Some of them don't even give an award for presentation, the category presentation.
Weird.
I do prefer when it's judged. However, at the same time, I understand sometimes not having it judged when you give the when stepping down the control of what the theme is, if they pick something that is so wild that is not your drag, but you're like already like, I'm going back next year, or you're already qualified, and it's just like, so what the fuck am I going to do for like monkeys themed or some random shit? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally feel that. And it's actually, you saying presentation is your favorite makes perfect sense, because I remember you were on the prelim night that I got to watch. Mm-hmm. So I remember your presentation, and the whole time I was just like, fuck, why didn't I think of that? You know, because it was so simple, but it was so funny and so strong. Like,
and that was the brilliant only, idea. That was the only idea for my package that went from, that lasted the whole time, like through the creative process of coming up with the package. That was the only one that stuck the entire time.
Yeah.
That was the only one I was like, I'm not changing that. It's too good.
Do you mind sharing to our listeners who may not have seen it, like what you did for your presentation?
Yeah. So the theme was super queeros. So we were there. I mean, you're looking for kind of a queer take on a superhero. Yes. And I did the invisible drag queen. And so you get 2 minutes. So for the first minute and 30 seconds, I wasn't even on stage, but I had a voiceover of me like fighting these two villains who were acting out like being beat up.
Mm-hmm.
And then part of presentation is being on stage and talking on a microphone and introducing yourself. So when it was done, I came on stage like patting myself on the face, like I was sweaty and I was like acting like I was out of breath. Like I had just worked really hard. And I was like panting on the mic and introducing myself and all of that stuff.
It was killer. Oh my God. And the thing was, like, with Miss, since I had qualified, I was the last one to qualify for that year. So, mm-hmm. You know, I was like, first idea I had, okay, that's what we're doing. Let's run with it. Have everyone I know come make me something. Like Fawn made my armor for my Super Queeros presentation. And I was literally, I felt like I was just piling everything I could possibly find that was cat related into this presentation. And then seeing like, oh my God, this was just this genius idea that was so well executed and had me like laughing until my sides hurt. Like it was brilliant, Patty. So,
well, talking with like the owner and my promoter, we all were like, this is either going to be a 0 or 100. Like it's not just going to be like mid.
Yeah.
Is that what the kids say? Mid?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not going to be in the middle. And so it was a big risk because presentation, it does say like, this is all about like presenting you and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm taking a big risk by not being on stage. So my take on it was more like, this is my brand of comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I do. This is my brand of stupid. Like, and then of course coming out and introducing myself. But so I made sure to incorporate, like, I was still going to be on stage, still introducing myself, all of that. So I encourage people to try and find the loopholes in rules and categories, because sometimes they really pay off.
Yeah. What are you most looking forward to in your step down?
Ooh, in my step down, I'm looking forward to, I'm really excited for the opening number for Final Night.
Mm.
Where I get to, part of it's introducing all the other formers and, then you do like a little number. But my theme is sports. It's athletic supporter, yay sports. So I'm going to treat it like a sporting event basically. And I don't want to give too much away.
Oh, that's cool.
It's going to be, yeah, we're going to kind of be like a little sports team and it's going to be fun. So
I love that. Like you were telling me how many numbers and how much preparation goes into like, into prepping for just your step down. And I was like, I really didn't realize like how much work you had to do on that side of it. I knew you had to, you know, go to the prelims and everything, but it really is something to think like, oh wow, I have to work with all these formers.
I still probably need to spend about $1,000 more on my step down.
Oh.
Mama.
So my Venmo and Cash App are
what's your relationship like with the formers? And do you like work with the formers for the opening number?
Yeah, so we have a formers group chat, and if you don't know who any of the formers are, they are people you might recognize. There are two Drag Race queens, Tina Burner and Ginger Minj, who are former national comedy queens. And so that's been weird to have people I've looked up to now be my peers, basically, of like, we talk fairly often. But there are also so many, there are 14 other Well, formers? 13 other formers. One has sadly passed. But so there are 13 other formers that there are like two I've never met that I've gotten to kind of connect with a little bit in our little group chat. And there's a bunch that I just always look forward to seeing at prelims and things. The Minx has become a good friend. And anytime I'm in Chicago, we love to hang out. Gidget Galore is someone who I didn't know I loved, but I love her.
Mm-hmm.
She was on So Fierce.
Yes, absolutely. She absolutely was. And she did a great job. And that show was something else.
It was.
Dixie Sherwood has been someone that I absolutely love spending time with. They're all just great. There's not one that's really a stinker. So...
And if they are, then they're aware of it at least.
Yeah.
It's on brand for
And it's
them.
Super fun because, so my first year, Mr. Miss Adrian won. And I can't remember exactly right now, but I believe I was number 5 and she was number 6. So we spent the entire pageant together. And so for her to crown me was really special to me because she was kind of the person I got closest to contestant-wise my first year. And I got to see her win and then she got to crown me. So that was really nice and really special. So
how long have you been doing drag?
This is in August, it'll be 4 years.
Okay.
So I'm about 3.5 years in.
Oh my God.
That's still fairly like fresh. Like it's long enough that you've gotten your bearings.
Yeah.
But that's still fairly fresh.
Mm-hmm. But I have done theater for like 25 years.
So that's basically just drag.
It really is. I mean, and if you've never done theater and you want to do drag, go try out for something. Go be in something because you will immediately, you will immediately learn so much more about stage presence. And you can just tell who has never done theater when you watch a drag show.
Honestly, that you're so right. Like after I did my first show, and that's how Fawn and I met through the 8 Reindeer Monologues, I learned so much about how to like make like big decisions that are impactful to the audience, that are like visually get a response, right?
Yep.
But before, I wasn't doing that. I was just going up and waving my arms around and hoping people laugh.
Well, and just knowing how to adjust what you're doing slightly to entertain the people in front of you. If you're doing something and it's not landing, you need to know how to fix it or else you're not going to make any money. And you're not going to have people want to watch you again. So you need to know how to read a crowd. And theater really helps with that because you're right there and you can feel either no energy coming back to you or this wave of amazing energy coming to you. And it's just this sense that you can't really get just by doing drag. I think you need to have some other kind of stage experience, you know, stand-up comedy, theater, public speaking, anything where you're in front of people and can read a room. Because
I know that queen.
Amazing.
I also think it depends on the venue too. And I think theater helps you learn a lot how to make the most of the space that you're in because you have your set constantly changing.
Yes.
Like one thing I loved that you did at Nationals, or it was the prelim night of Nationals when you had your giraffe gown, was that in Southern Nights, where the prelim night was, when you lifted your arm up, it was hidden by like this beam that was on the ceiling, like above the stage. And I was like, oh my God, that's... And then you like, you know, moved it in a comedic way so that everyone could see it as you walked on the runway. And I just was like, oh my God, they're like really thinking through all these details.
Like, so the stage is like 8 feet tall. And in drag, I'm about 7'2".
Oh my God.
So I knew that I was like, well, at first, because I did the giraffe gown the first year, and I was like, well, crap, I'm doing this whole gag where the giraffe head is on my hand and no one is going to see it. And I was like,
play into it.
Turn lemons into lemonade. And that's what I did with my hamstring injury for the second year when I went into prelim night talent. And I was like, I can either, you know, do what I wanted to do and it be not good, or just really lean into this whole thing where I'm injured and make the whole talent about being injured.
That's something else we should talk about. Yeah, like, because you had to pretty much completely change your talent package, right?
Yeah.
For finals, and that was like 2 weeks in advance, I think?
So I think I injured myself about three and a half, four weeks before Nationals, and I still was like, well, it's not that bad. I'll probably get better. So I didn't really change my plan until about 2 weeks before, where I was like, it's... not great and I probably shouldn't risk it. So, but I didn't have that mix until, so we drove down, I don't think I had that mix until the Sunday before, and we performed on the Tuesday or Wednesday. I went on Wednesday. I was the second day.
Yeah.
So, and like I told you, like we rehearsed twice, I think maybe three times, and I didn't even think to use a crutch until the morning of my prelim night. So if I had gone night one, I wouldn't have had a crutch. Like I wouldn't have had that idea to use a crutch. So it was a blessing that I got night two.
Oh my God. Oh my God, that's so funny though. You're talking about rehearsing. I just remembered that I actually got thrown out of the YMCA for rehearsing my cocksucker talent in the gymnasium. Yeah. I was like Ron DeSantis. Mike might have gotten a point there from me.
That's okay.
Something you mentioned to me earlier was that you are also a podcaster.
I am, but yeah. I don't do any of the tech stuff, which is why I've been watching you. Because I do want to start a National Comedy Queen podcast. I have an episode recorded, but I don't know what to do with it. So
we'll get it up.
Perfect. Yeah, I am on a podcast called Eberron Renewed that I've been on for. Okay, well, I've been on that for like 3 years, but it's part of a like an organization called Geek Pantheon where I was on a different podcast previously. But we play, we play tabletop RPG games. Right now we're doing, it's basically Dungeons and Dragons, but we're playing, in the Eberron setting, but we're using the Genesis dice system. So it's kind of a merging of D&D and Genesis, which are just, they're just a little bit different than each other, but it's the same kind of concept. It's a dice game, role-playing game.
Yeah.
And we're on, we've done probably almost 200 episodes of this campaign. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We get together like every month and record like 4 episodes. It's one per week. Yeah. Every Friday.
That's amazing.
I've never done like actual D&D. I'm currently playing Baldur's Gate 3 with my partner.
And I've heard that's very fun.
Yeah.
I've not played it, but I've heard it's very fun.
I have some friends, we play this game called, oh God, I don't even know what it's called. I think it's called Clock Tower or like Ravenswood Bluff.
No idea.
No, it's very fun. It's kind of like Mafia, but you have to play all these characters and they always kill me because they think I'm the murderer, but I never am. And it makes me a little sad.
They kind of, it's four straight men and myself who are on this podcast. They asked me to do it to be funny. Like I never played. They had asked me to come on because they knew I would be comedic. I don't think they realized how chaotic I would end up being. I just played I don't want to ruin too much, but the arc we just kind of finished, my character just killed his father for really... I mean, no real good reason other than the opportunity presented itself.
Just to do it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
He deserved it.
He did.
I can already tell.
But he did.
Would you ever do a campaign with some formers?
Absolutely.
That should be part of your Comedy Queen podcast.
I could never be a DM, but I would play. We would have to find someone else to be the DM.
DMing is a lot of responsibility.
That's too, and you gotta be on, and you have to know the world you've created. And I'm like, I would not. I'd be like, where'd I put the Starbucks?
You've really got to be able to like improv because like the people are gonna do stuff that is not on your plan.
Absolutely.
That, oh my God, you should do that for your Comedy Queen podcast. I love that idea. Oh my God. I'm just imagining like you and Ginger, Trixie Deluxe, Tina.
A Trixie Deluxe on a D&D podcast would be
everything.
I would probably unalive myself if I was the DM.
Oh my God. Who knows what she would come up with? Work. Honestly, slay. I love that idea.
She's someone who's very fun.
Yeah.
If you don't follow her, get on her TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Trixie Deluxe. Deluxe has two X's.
I think
Trixie has two X's too. I can't remember.
Oh yes. There's the most X's I've ever seen in that drag name. Well, is there anything else that we should talk about to get to know Patty for this portion of our pod?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I mean, you're both just staring at me.
I'll look away. Don't look at me.
You know, I mean, I'm just kind of general drag stuff. I think I've competed now in about 8 pageants and I've won 5 of them. I've been in I've been first alternate or second alternate multiple times. More than eight. I probably like 9 or 10 pageants.
Is there another national system you would go for outside of Comedy Queen?
Yeah, so I'm very interested in EOY.
We love EOY here.
Do, right? I think I'm creative enough to do well. I'm honestly, and I know this is kind of like the, some people would be like, that's the old fart system, but I am interested in doing America. Simply because
I feel like that clip may come back to bite you, be like, oh, the old fart system.
Oh, I fully plan to say that in my interview for America. I'm coming off a national title where I'm literally like have no rules.
Uh-huh.
Going into a national title that is all rules.
All the rules.
Mm-hmm. Like I have no problem being like, this is gonna be a struggle for me, like following the rules. Like I'm not gonna lie to you all. I just came from being my own free agent to now having to follow a lot of rules. And I think being vulnerable in that sense is, it's nothing but a strength. But I see there are a couple of people I've talked to that are like, it's going in like a different direction now. Like people are starting to loosen the strings a little bit, letting people be a little more creative. You know, they're not so strict on covering all your tattoos and all of that kind of stuff.
That's one of the things that I've heard about EOY, because I had people approach me being like, you should do EOY. And I was like, even with the mustache, and they said, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are pageant systems that are definitely starting to catch on that, like, if we want this to succeed, we need to include everyone. And
yeah, that's the only way these kind of institutions will survive. And I think that they will continue to survive, but with the changing landscape of so many people getting their idea of drag from TV, and so many of these TV shows kind of giving pageantry a bad name in a way, I think that there needs to be a way for pageants to show that they are open to more people and to everyone. That's why I love that Comedy Queens so much, because allow anyone, it doesn't matter what's in your pants, to
it is compete. Open to any female presenting entertainer, and that doesn't exclude people with facial hair. So but I was recently asked what my definition of drag was, and my answer was, I hate that question. I don't think there should be a definition of drag. Because I mean, if you think about it, like, what is the definition of drag?
I have one.
Like, I mean, there are things we want in drag, but that's not the definition. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So why are we trying to define drag in a world where we're trying to have people not define drag?
Because there was a time that I would have said, like, drag is a performance of gender, but now it's like there are also people that are still, that are doing things that are genderless, that aren't even, like, human. So it's just like, you can't even say a performance of gender anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm someone, I like some structure and some rules. I don't know. I've always said it, that I, or not always said, but more recently I've kind of defined it to myself as something that, an art form that plays with gender, but it's also referential. So I think it's, for me, somewhere between those things, because I think there are things that are not drag, right? Like, I think there are art forms that are that. So I don't know.
Yeah, because like a lot of the male presenting entertainers that are AMAB male entertainers don't even call themselves drag artists. A lot of them call themselves like male leads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they don't call what they do drag. But there are also some that do, that full on say they're drag kings. It just depends on like what they identify as and like what level they're doing it to.
Yeah. It's really interesting to see the scope change. And especially, I think pageantry is something that's always going to continue to like facilitate what that conversation looks like. So, yeah. Well, did you have anything else to ask Patty? Fawn?
I think I asked all of my questions.
Well, I think that means it's time for my favorite segment each and every week. That's right. It's time for Flops of the Week.
Work.
This is our chance to go on a 60-second uninterrupted rant about something in this world that deserves to be flopped. Who wants to go first?
Are you ready to go first?
I'll go. I took an improv class. Let's hit it. I'll come up with something.
Yes, and.
Yes, and. Okay. What is it?
I can go first if I need to.
Yeah, if you don't mind, that'd be great.
Yeah. Because I forgot that I did have one written down and I remembered it.
Oh, okay, good. All right. This is Fawn's Flop of the Week. Your 60-second timer starts now.
My flop of the week are pre-announcement announcements. I do not need to know that you are going to announce something next Thursday. You know what you need to do? Just announce it next Thursday. If you're going to tell me that you're going to announce something big soon, what am I going to do? Be annoyed that you're not telling me, and I'm probably not going to remember to check back in.
That was a lot, Robin.
It is a lot, Robin. Because you know what? I don't care enough to come back next Thursday to see what the big announcement is. It's more exciting to go ahead and announce what you're fucking going to do. Like, also, I have anxiety. I don't want to be thinking about, what is this big announcement? What is it? Is it going to be something like big? And then half the time it's just like, I'm going to McDonald's. Not really that small, but that's what it fucking feels like whenever you're making a big deal about your announcement and all it is something small. Like, come on.
Yeah, what even is up with that?
How do you feel about longer post coming soon?
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, if it's like right after you win the pageant, like if it's like you post that the night of winning the pageant and then do the longer post, I can give some leeway there.
Yeah, well, yeah. But the thing that I get annoyed with is when people are like, oh my God, pageant queens with their long thank you posts. But honestly, if you don't thank everyone,
no, I like right? the thank you posts.
Someone will be mad.
I like the thank you posts.
I think you're so right, though, because people are always like, I have something huge coming soon. And it's,
just tell us.
Right.
And they're like, Open Talent Night is back at Roscoe's, and I'm performing on Thursday.
I'm going
Come
live.
Come give me some money, because they only pay me $10 to be here.
I'm going live on Wednesday nights for Drag Roulette. Yeah.
I'm going to start doing that. Big announcement coming soon. Another podcast episode is coming out.
Honestly... You promoting the podcast at all is a big announcement.
I used to be so good about it. And then I took my drag break and stopped caring about anything.
I understand. Well, huge announcement coming soon. I think it's time for my flop of the week.
Are you ready?
Sure!
3, 2, 1, go.
My flop of the week is that every single time when I'm looking in the mirror and I realize that my jeans are a little too tight and I need to go on a diet.
Excuse me, bitch.
Pumpkin spice season starts. And everything I want in the world has pumpkin in it. And they never make any diet pumpkin options.
Let's get this roast to cooking.
And I want to eat all of the pumpkin roast, the pumpkin spice lattes, the pumpkin iced lattes, the pumpkin bread, the pumpkin muffins, the pumpkin pies.
30 seconds.
The pumpkin burgers from McDonald's and the pumpkin milkshakes at Cookout.
Ready for my salad?
And the pumpkin salad over at Nuke's. It's what I need the most in this world. But every single time I have to decide between getting thinner or letting my non-binary man boobs grow
15 seconds
into pumpkin spice man boobs.
Slow and poppers.
Also, oh my God, pumpkin spice poppers also messed up my pattern of trying to wane myself off of them recently, because what did Double Scorpio release? Pumpkin spice poppers.
That is a thing.
It is.
They're so good. This year was like the third or fourth year that they've done it. But that is why pumpkin spice everything ruining Flapjack's diet is Flapjack's flop of the week.
Every fall.
Do I know how little I've had sex in the past like, 2 years? I don't think... I haven't bought poppers.
Wait, really?
In at least 2 years.
Do you like getting tipped with poppers?
I never have. I've been tipped with pre-roll, which I love.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm like... Thank you very much. That's like $5.
Yeah.
So thank you.
If somebody tipped me a whole bottle of poppers, I would live. But if somebody tipped me by just sniffing it,
yeah, no.
I would do it. But like I'd be like, can I also have a dollar?
Somebody tipped me a shot of absinthe one time. And I didn't realize that's what it was because this place had all these colorful shots. And so it was just like a lime green shot, and we had been drinking all these colors of shots, and I took it on stage. I was like bent over for 30 seconds. It took the life out of me. It was just like black licorice gasoline.
Oh my God.
It was so bad.
Did you hallucinate Dua Lipa?
I there's a video of me afterward in the dressing room trying to get a contact lens out of my eye that I'd already taken out.
Just pulling on your cornea.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
I've gotten tipped with poppers before, and I don't mind it because I really like poppers.
I mean, I do too, but I also want the dollar.
I like it the most when it works out with whatever I'm performing. Like, I have this one that's like a sex prank call, basically, and it just really worked out that the person who was tipping me with the poppers did it right when I was, like, having the horniest moment of the whole mix.
I'm going to wait till you do your sad emotional ballad again, and I'm going to tip you with poppers. Mix.
Yeah, I believe the children are the future.
No, are you talking about
the one where you like where do the tears?
Cry.
I'm gonna tip you with poppers during that.
What is it? Oh, I am what I am.
Yeah.
And what I am is a power bottom.
Okay, hold on. I'm writing that down. Talent idea. All right, I think it's time for Patty's flop.
Nope. That's not
right. Of the week.
That's right.
That's the one, the splat on the ground. That's what
ready?
It sounds like when my asshole hits the floor when I do poppers. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is Patty's flop of the week. Your 60-second timer starts now.
So recently I went and saw the movie Color Purple.
The
movie is not my flop of the week. The movie was wonderful in its own way. Was it like the stage show? Not really. Was it like the movie? Kind of. But the performances were amazing. My flop of the week was ruined the entire movie for me because in the end scene, Mister, who is like Celie's ex-husband abuser, is wearing these pants in this fabric. I'm just going to show you real quickly. It is holographic silver mermaid print fabric from Joanne.
Melissa B. Fierce is shaking.
And this movie is set not in current times at all. So this fabric would not even... A stretch Lycra spandex would not even exist in this time, nor would it be printed like a mermaid print. And these pants ruined the entire movie for me. And they flop hard.
They truly do. And that's why the one-yard iridescent mermaid holographic dragon scale print fabric appearing in the color purple is Patty's flop of the week.
Not even 1 yard. They do show it very briefly on a whole bolt in her pants making store.
I remember when that fabric came out and everybody thought it was so cunty when it first came out and then stopped using it like
immediately.
It's so hard to sew with too. It's gross.
I like made a mermaid fishtail out of it one time.
I made a boot cover pattern out of it because I said I bought this extra scrap yard at Joanne that was 96 cents and I'm going to make a boot cover pattern.
Like, I had to be Ariel one time, so I like made a fishtail out of it.
Wait, you had to be a what?
I had to be Ariel one time.
Oh.
It was like mine was like a teal base, like a turquoise base.
Interesting.
With the mermaid scale, so it wasn't the black. I hate the black.
Huh. But yeah, that's wild. I can't believe that the costume department allowed that at all.
Yeah.
Wearing that fabric. I mean, what year is that set in? It's like 1800s-ish?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I should have paid attention.
I've not seen it.
Hold on. Let me check with our lead researcher.
It was 18-something. They showed dates on the screen, and I think it was 18-something.
Color purple.
I do want to go see that. I also want to go see Mean Girls.
1910 to 1940.
1910? Yeah. Wow. I was really
Have y'all
wrong.
Noticed... Me and some of my friends have been talking about this, how like some of the recent musicals, they have not been advertising like as musicals. They've just been advertising them as movies.
They're two separate trailers.
Yeah.
One has songs in it and the other doesn't.
Because they did that for Color Purple and they did that for Mean Girls.
Oh, weird.
And so everyone thinks it's just a movie remake and so everyone's confused. And some people go and they watch it and they get mad because there's music in it. I saw some people on Facebook post that they walked out of the movie. Not because it was a musical, just because I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I wonder if there...
And also, there's people that are diehard against musicals, and if they go see a movie that is a musical without knowing it, they are going to be upset.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll do that for Wicked. I mean, they can, right? Like, what are they... What do they
Ariana
include?
Grande in it.
Yeah.
Who... Have you heard the, like...
The unreleased bit, like the...
Yeah, of her singing...
Defying Gravity?
No. Ariana Grande, the opening number.
I haven't.
No one mourns so wicked.
No, I haven't. They won't
and goodness knows the wicked sides are lonely. It's like that little part, I think.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I was so worried about her playing that part.
I thought you were about to say that it's so bad. And I was going to be real nervous.
I was so worried about her playing that part because of her playing Penny Pingleton in Hairspray Live, which is a perfect role for her based off of the role she played for years on Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
But then she was just Ariana Grande. And then I realized, like, when I heard her sing legit, she's singing like legit, like operatic, like gorgeous. Because
she started on Broadway.
Yes. And she, I mean, she has a vocal coach, of course. But I remembered her on SNL doing all those impressions of people. And I was like, if you're good at impressions, how easy is it going to be for you to just be like, I'm going to do a Kristen Chenoweth impression?
Yeah.
Which is, it's not what it sounds like she's doing, but as a performer, if I was really good at impressions, I was like, if I need to sing legit, I'm just going to impersonate someone. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm not a legit operatic singer, like, I need to listen to this person and just try and impersonate them. So it got clicked with me. I was like, she's going to be good at this because she, like, she's very good at impersonations.
Are you a good singer?
Am I a good singer? Yeah. I hope so. I paid for it.
Oh, slay.
I'm good enough to, when I lived in New York, I was called back for a couple of Broadway shows.
Whoa.
And that was not for any of the dancer calls I went to. It was just for the singer calls I went to. But I'm very out of practice. So it's probably not the healthiest singing at the moment. But
I'm a little nervous for doing pageant because it is a musical.
Mm-hmm. And that is one of the reasons I did not audition.
Well, I mean, I'm excited to challenge myself with it. But the thing is, when I do karaoke, it clears a room, you know, like
I don't even do that.
So I'm a little nervous about.
Well, I'm also a bass when I sing.
Oh,
so people don't expect that. They think I'm going to be like a Aaron Tveit tenor type, Jeremy Jordan
yes.
type high tenor singer.
Like, please, I may have.
And
some
I go in there. And I'm like, what is it? I sing like Friends in Low Places for karaoke.
Oh, so is that your go-to?
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined your black tie affair. Like, I sing country and bass. Like,
felt.
So.
Is that your go-to song for
karaoke? That is my go-to karaoke song.
Do you have a go-to karaoke song, Tom?
It's usually something country.
If I'm drunk
enough.
If
I can go deep in country, like, I love a Josh Turner.
Yes, people don't realize that we're tall and skinny, and the
no,
parts
I think
of
people
our,
realize that.
Well, I mean that I think people would look at us and say tenors.
Yeah,
but really, it's like shorter, not fat people, but like they're not necessarily skinny,
right?
But the way like our muscles work. For some reason, our speaking voices are higher, and when we sing, it's so much lower. So I don't know.
Interesting. It's like you're built for it. You're built different.
Built for tough.
Well, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back to discuss some Drag Race and some news in the world and give our fawns of the week.
And we're back. Welcome back to the podcast. I don't host, but I'm here today.
Hi, Patty.
Hi. Thanks for having me again. So, of course, we all do the drag, so we have to talk about Drag Race.
Vroom, vroom.
Vroom, vroom.
Get out me car.
I'm in my mom's car.
Get out me car. Oh, what does she say?
Oh. I think it's just oh. hold on. No idea for talent. Let me write that down.
You got a fast car.
You really are based. Lord have mercy.
Yeah. Baby, lock the door and turn the lights down.
I love that song.
It's very low.
I love that song.
It's very. It was in my book for auditions.
Ooh.
What were we talking about? Drag Race.
Yes.
So, we can just briefly mention season 16 because it's still so new.
Yeah. I mean, I've only watched the first episode, but I've watched like the Meet the Queens and the cast of it.
I will say, as somebody that has watched both episodes,
as someone who did their homework,
I personally think the first episode is the important one to watch.
Oh, really? Fair. Is the second one
fair?
I don't think it's as good. I don't think it's as good, except for Nymphia.
Slay!
Work.
I really like her.
Work.
I'm hoping. I can't wait to watch it because she's the one I'm probably most excited about.
I'm excited about Dawn the most.
The surprise. Looks. The
Dawn,
looks.
Fawn likes Dawn. Surprise.
It's like your siblings.
Right.
I am friends with Plasma, so I do have to root for her a little bit. I know her drag is not as flashy and showy as anyone else on the show, but she's super sweet and very nice. She is very talented too.
How do you know Plasma?
When we were watching the show last night, me and my partner, who watched the live stream for Comedy Queen last year, said that Plasma's talent like reminded us a little bit of yours.
Work. We are very similar. We did this is how I know her. We did an online like drag race in Oklahoma together during COVID. And we did like a meet the performers thing, and we literally showed up in like on screen, blue dress, orange hair. Like we both were wearing the exact same thing, which was funny. She ended up winning. I ended up dropping out because I thought it was a super unprofessionally run situation. So
those bitches.
Play.
Yeah. But I do love Plasma. And I don't know that I've met anyone else on the season.
I think I'm going to call it now. I'm team Sapphira Crystal.
Crystal.
I was like, why am I saying that wrong? Yeah. Sapphira Crystal.
Crystal.
I do like her too, and she slayed that first episode. I just hope the momentum is like
discussed. I hope the momentum stays.
Yeah.
Because I live for her, I live for Dawn, and I live for Nymphia.
Dawn, I feel like, is gonna get annoying off stage.
I don't know.
You haven't met the second group yet.
Okay,
right. Or were they all like really annoying? All
I've seen
on stage?
I can't remember the girl's name, but all I've seen is I don't like this one. And it's always the same girl. Like, yeah, I don't like this person. She's white.
Mandatory meeting?
No.
I do not like Amanda.
No?
I do not like Amanda.
I think she's charming, and I think they roasted her the whole first episode for no reason.
I can't get past the makeup. If somebody looks booger busted,
have you seen it's now, hard though? For me to...
Yes, and I still hate it.
Fawn will hate someone for years.
Okay. Just over the
ask
makeup.
Denali.
Just... I'm fine with Denali now.
After how many years?
Because she's been posting that booty and it looked good.
I was fine with her because of her...
Fawn said, when I see them ice skates, I get sprung.
It was the Mattymorphosis Give It To Me Straight interview that like changed my opinion of Denali,
which is a good show.
Good.
Did you watch the
it.
Carrie Colby episode?
Oh my god, I almost cried.
It needed an Emmy.
Yeah,
it was so good.
And do now
they have she has a podcast too, right? Isn't it a podcast?
It's
with
now a
mom?
Podcast with Mom Podcast. The whole thing is now sponsored by Mom.
Like, she does a very good job.
Yeah,
and I know Maddie. She's from Arkansas, so we weren't that far away.
I didn't realize she was straight because, like, I've been like Facebook friends with her for years and didn't realize she was straight until she got cast. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know. Because, like, a lot of the drag she does is so, like, you would think a queer person is doing this.
Yeah. Well, I think she still identifies as somewhere on the rainbow spectrum. I don't think she, I think now she has stepped out of just calling herself straight. I could be speaking out of turn.
I think anyone who does drag, even if your sexual orientation is straight, like there's some queerness in you, you know, like whether that be on the gender spectrum or
whether
something.
That be somebody else that's in you.
It might matter how many fingers are in you, but
what is that girl's name? No one likes her. She's in episode 2. I think she comes in like a cheetah print costume. She has black
hair.
Plain Jane. I've seen is I don't like Plain Jane.
The hairline on her wig, on her entrance wig, looks like somebody got those zigzag craft scissors.
Oh no.
And that's what the hairline looks like. It is so zigzagged.
Oh no.
Like not the lace, the actual hairline.
I was actually very excited for her, but I knew that she had
hot.
Some things go down.
Is she?
Like in and out of drag, I think she's hot.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean she's a good person. I just think
she looks like Dollar Store Rosé to me out of drag.
You know, I had a few encounters with Rosé when I lived in New York City.
Really?
Yes.
I'm just saying, I think she looks like Dollar Store Rosé.
So you've had drag in you for a long time.
No. She was not in me.
Oh.
Even though she claims to be a top now. I have videos that say otherwise.
Oh my God.
Flapjack, you're the only one at this table who has not been with a Rue girl.
You don't know what I've done. You don't know who I've been with.
Well, you need to come out then.
Why? I might have signed an NDA.
There's no way.
For which queen?
What queen would have you sign an NDA?
Bianca Del Rio. That's probably the only one.
She has been here multiple times.
I had sex with them. No. But hey, listen, you name a Camp Wanakiki girl, there's a chance.
Oh, God.
Or guy. Oh, right. Now I have to cut that out.
You said name one.
Oh my god, fuck you. Anyways. Fuck, I was gonna say something.
We're talking about season 16.
Yes.
Yeah.
Plain Jane had, I got to see her talent on Instagram.
I don't like it.
Oh, well, it looked just like my drag daughter as a burger.
It looked like a budget. Bobo
does that burger better.
It was not a good burger. Which they're doing a sequel of that movie.
It was like, isn't that a show or movie?
They don't do the good burger, Homer. The good burger
it,
can't take
it. It gave
order.
Me like trying to be like Jimbo.
Oh, yeah.
Very much the, gave the me poops. Trying to be like Jimbo.
I've thought a lot about what I would do for a talent show, and I have no idea.
Same.
I think it's one of the hardest parts of
because you don't want to just like race. Go up there and lip sync because that's yeah. what you're going to be doing all season. You don't want to show all of your cards. You want to show something that you might not get to show
I
in a challenge.
Probably write an original song.
Yeah.
But those seem to just be kind of mid.
Yeah. I think that with Drag Race, it's almost like, I think, especially if the talent is at the beginning, that's probably the most important thing that you prepare beforehand.
Yeah.
Like, even more than any of your looks, because that is what sets your tone and that's what's going to take you so far. I love Q.
I love Q.
Ballet puppet thing was so fun. I'd not really seen that before.
I'm really surprised there's not like pushback on that.
Oh, why?
It seemed very like,
say it, it's fine.
It seemed very making fun of like little people.
Mm.
Oh, I didn't get that, but I could see how it would be perceived that way.
And I'm like, am I the only person that thinks that? Because I haven't seen anything about
any
it.
Any discourse about it? I don't know.
And I'm like, was she trying to be a child? Or was she trying to just be small?
To me, it gave child because of the outfit and the hair.
But also, her face did not make one expression the whole time she did it, which I hate. I literally hate when a drag queen does not use her face.
And I felt that way in her lip sync.
She can't use her upper lip because that lip's frozen. She doesn't show it when she talks.
Fair.
You don't show your upper lip either anytime.
Well,
it's got a wig on.
Yeah, it's a lace front, honey.
Humana. 40 inches of Humana hair.
Well, yeah, anything else about season 16? I mean, who's the guest judge for episode 2?
Becky G.
No fucking way!
You're Becky the first G? Person that has had that kind of reaction to Becky G.
I like her song that's like, I am so lucky.
The only Becky G thing that I know is singing in the shower.
Oh yeah, I like that too!
Singing in the shower.
But let me tell you, yeah. If
that's the name of the song? That seems like a really B-list lyric in the song.
I mean, they've, I don't know. I don't even know who Charlize Theron really is. Like, I'm not good at, like,
people. I mean, I know that Charlize is a lot bigger of a star than Becky G.
Sure, yes, but
do you know how disappointing that would be if you were in the second group and got fucking Becky G?
But the thing is, I think any time if I was on Drag Race that there was an actual guest that I knew who they were, because you know how bad I am with celebrities, like, that's a huge win to me. Like, I feel like they should cast me when the budget runs low so that they can get, like, the B-list celebrities because those are the ones I'm going to know. You know?
You're going to be like, give me Billy Bob Joe Thornton or
give
something.
Give me Remy Wolf.
They're like, here's
why haven't we had
Tim Stanley? He was an extra on The Office.
Wow! I've seen that show!
Why haven't they had Kim Petras yet?
They can't afford her.
Also controversial. Do you watch Housewives?
Scheduling too, I'm sure. No, I don't.
I don't know why they haven't had Erica Jane from Housewives. Except now I understand why they might not, because controversy around Erica, but they should have had Erica Jane.
What do we think of Andy Cohen?
I don't like
him. I hate that man.
I think the Housewife reunions are so good.
He's a great host, but I just have no interest in him at all.
I think that he's like a huge misogynist and is like, and he's queer, but no, he's a fag.
I know he uses his like status to manipulate people, like men, yeah. Boys, even.
Gross. He talks about like how he'll sleep with 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
And with Kathy Griffin, like he deliberately went out of his way to keep her from having success, like largely because she was a woman.
Yeah, I don't care for him.
Yeah,
I don't even really care for Anderson Cooper.
I don't know as much about him. I just know Andy.
I think Anderson Cooper's cuter.
He is. Definitely attractive.
I had a crush on Anderson Cooper before he came out of the closet.
Anderson Cooper can show me that Anderson Cooter.
Work.
Slay. Well,
that Manderson Cooter.
That made my bugs bite. Well, moving on from Drag Race season 16, they did announce the cast for UK versus the World.
Which is, in my opinion, one of the better seasons. The first season of UK versus the World.
I always find it exciting. I know you're friends with Blue, but
we are Instagram acquaintances who talk more often than I would think we would actually talk.
That's really fierce. So. Please don't ever encourage her to listen to this podcast because I have talked so much shit about her.
You could, because I always talk great about her because I've been Facebook friends with her for years because I've stanned her for years.
I am also very attracted to her.
Oh.
And her husband. And they both open? Know that.
Do you think Patty would be into Alexis Jade then?
Maybe. I don't know.
Listen, talk about who I'm into because it's been a long time and I need it.
Hey, maybe tonight's the night.
Where's the bathhouse in Birmingham, Alabama?
There's not. You got to go to Atlanta.
No. Mark. There is one.
What?
No, there's not. There is a bookstore.
Well, yes. It has a back room. That does. It's they party and play.
There is a bookstore, an adult bookstore, that is sketchy as fuck that I would not recommend.
But hey, if you need it, they got
YMCA, it. YMCA though.
Well, the gym is, it happens at the gym.
Yeah.
It's specifically the Y in Mountain Brook where all the rich people are.
Wow.
I've not been. Oh, that's fair. But I've heard a lot of stories
about
it. When
I go to Chicago, I don't even have to go to the bathhouse. I just go to the gym.
Oh my God.
It's great. It's about $10 cheaper and it's just as active as
Steamworks. Does that actually work out though? I don't know. I've never, maybe it's just me, but.
Having full-fledged sex at the gym is definitely a hard thing to do. But fooling around with someone in the steam room, easy. Easy breezy.
Oh, my God. Would you fool around with anyone on this UK versus the World cast?
I fooled around with someone who had a dog tech, a literal dog bone collar at the gym that said, brussy.
Are you into pups?
Bro pussy.
Brossy.
And I said, why do I like that?
You learned something new about yourself.
Why do I like the word brussy? He was really hot too. And I was like, why are you coming with me?
Is that
coming on you?
Wait, is that a thing? Are you into pup play and stuff?
No, I'm not. I've never really done it. He wasn't really it wasn't in pup gear. He just had the collar. He was naked. So,
That's pup gear.
I've never tried it, so I don't know.
Oh.
My saying sexually is that I'll try anything twice.
Because you got to do it twice. Sure. Because the first time it might not be the right person or the right vibe.
Or it was a learning experience. Yeah. So now the second time you kind of know what you're doing.
Yeah. If you're a virgin to it, there's mistakes can be made. Learning experience.
Unless it's fisting, then you got to try it four times.
Work. I'll never be fisted, but I have fisted someone.
Slay.
Kind of accidentally, but that's his fault for having a really loose butthole. Wait,
you just slipped and fell.
So, I was just fingering and kept going. So, and I was like, oh, God.
What's wild is when you're just in there and you start doing sign language.
Here's my address if you'll send my Apple Watch back whenever you're done with it.
Oh my God. Okay. UK versus the World. Mama. Jesus. So this cast was announced. So do y'all keep up with all the international seasons? How caught up are we on that end?
I know all of these entertainers except for Holland 2.
Oh, okay.
I didn't watch Holland 2 because Holland 1 was that much garbage to me.
Oh, I liked Holland 1.
What? You didn't like...
I hate Fred.
J.K. or what was her name?
I don't like Fred.
Janie J.K. Oh, the host.
The host was the deal breaker for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Janie's fierce. Well, the cast...
And the winner was so gorgeous. What was her name?
Envy Peru. Yeah,
oh
Icon.
Oh, gosh. I want her on the next All Winners season.
There was a lot of great cast members on UK on Holland. I just couldn't do it because of the host.
That's fair. He was very boring.
Because I loved... Dang, Madam Madness. I loved Envy. I loved Cetirjean.
Cetirjean's my bitch. I love her.
Okay, who... No, do you have a wig head that's a man?
Yeah.
Go get it.
Okay.
I don't know where this is going.
It looks exactly like Cetirjean.
That's wild.
I've never put that together. Cetirjean's hot, though.
I follow her. It's kind of her alt Instagram, but nothing really crazy.
It only counts as an alt if there's hole or pole.
There's no hole or pole, but you do see nipple, and I thought it would only count if you saw nipple. Well, I love them, and I think that they deserve a chance to come back, much like these fabulous queens. So we have Arancha Castilla La Mancha. Sorry if I mispronounced that, from España season one.
I think
one.
You'll like her. I don't like her.
Oh, I don't like her.
Oh, you don't like her?
I watched Spain season one.
Mark loves her. I really don't like her.
No, I really like Hugacio Crujiente.
Yeah.
If I said that right. They're my favorite. Theresa May from UK3. Gothy Kindle from UK1. I love
Theresa.
Hannah Conda from Down Under 2. Jonbers Blonde from UK4.
You know I hate that bitch.
Jonbers Blonde?
Yes.
Oh, I don't like love her, but I liked her.
That was who Patty Fist did. She still hasn't surprised. Returned the Apple Watch.
I know.
Keta Minaj from Holland 2.
I gotta find my phone.
Yeah, you knew she was filming UK.
I got Panera Bread right now.
Le Grand Dame from France season one. I'm probably rooting for her.
I love Le Grand Dame.
Marina Summers from Philippines season one. Work bitch.
Love her.
Mayhem Miller from US 10 and All Stars 5.
Why? I'm not a Mayhem fan.
Why? I'm a Mayhem fan, but I'm not a Mayhem on Drag Race fan.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I like her. I don't like her on Drag Race.
Yeah, I get that. And then finally, we have Scarlet Envy from US 11 and All Star 6 and Tia Coffey from UK 2.
Which I love Scarlet Envy. I think she was robbed on the All Star season she was on.
I didn't like her on her original season, but All Stars made me a fan.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Hannah
Conda. Is top 10 drag queens for me.
Yeah, she's one of my favorites. The only thing that I get worried about is I've learned a lot, honestly, from watching I've learned a lot about the world from watching UK or any of these Versus the World seasons.
Yeah,
like I didn't realize that in Australia and New Zealand there's just so many less resources for drag.
What do you mean? They got Wigs by Vanity down there. They're fine.
Well, their hair looks great, but a lot of the other like fabrics and you know, just
they got the internet. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, they got the internet. They got Amazon.
Do really like Tia Coffey. I did.
She
not
grew on me like fungus
until they had that COVID break.
I think. Yeah. And then I they came back. Will like Tia. I didn't live for Tia before, but I think I will like
she
Tia.
She made some iconic moments though. I'm wearing a dress that I made. It is on my body.
And she just would always do that knee slam. And I was like, baby,
yeah.
It's going to be a TNE. Marina Summers.
I have not watched Philippines 1, but I am familiar with her.
I love Marina.
I'm hoping Gothy got a personality.
But isn't it exciting to have someone who was first out come back for something like this? Like,
yeah.
Because I do think that she deserves another chance to...
Because she looked stunning.
Yeah. I mean, I see a lot of her nudes on Twitter, but I think she's more than that.
What?
Yeah. And she doesn't even hide it. It's on her like her Gothy Kindle Twitter page.
Go look at
there's a lot on this cast that seems to be the people that might have been boogers but got by on personality.
That's fair.
Damn.
Like on their original seasons.
How dare you talk about Theresa May in that way?
I'm talking about Arancha. I'm talking about Jonbers. I'm talking about Tia.
I
always thought Jonbers looked good in drag, but drag bothered me.
I always thought she looked gutter bucket in drag. Gutter bucket.
Hey, what do we think the prompt that they were given was for this promo?
Wear pretty a gown.
Yeah, there it's pretty all over the place.
The theme was, what do you have?
Yeah. Although that is kind of wild. I think Jonbers may be wearing something she wore on her season, but
I don't think it's the exact. I think it's interpretation like of something she wore.
It was the thing she made, right? The duet thing? Her and Black Peppa?
Maybe.
That sounds right. But also she had like this one look. I think it was her best look of the season with the huge hat. It was like a Kentucky Derby kind of thing. I'm really excited for Theresa May. Like I thought she did not deserve to go when she did.
I love Theresa.
That double elimination was so fucked up.
I will say I hate these showgirl neck pieces that are just ostrich feather poking out.
Oh.
I'm like that. It just looks like feathers poking out.
Who are you talking about?
Theresa May.
Is that just ostrich feathers? But it has some structure.
There's four UK girls and there's one from each of the first four seasons.
It's just a half circle of ostrich feathers. That's not special.
Oh, wow. I'm going to send this to Theresa May.
Do it.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, baby, figure out a way to make it, like put some styrofoam spikes in it or something.
Do you think this looks good on Kim Minaj at the bottom of the dress?
I hate a gown that it's just feathers at the bottom like that too. Like you could just hot glue those to the gown and they'll lay like that.
Wow.
I like the ombre. The ombre is gorgeous. And I like the fact that there is something else to it. I also don't like the neck thing. I think that looks cheap as well.
What about LeGrand Dame's look? It's probably who's my that? Favorite. This one?
Oh, I don't really live. France. My favorite is what? Scarlet Envy's.
I do like it. I think it is interesting. I love the texture. I think that it would be more impactful if there was something on the arms.
I think it's the one that's got the most personality. However, it's not for me.
It's not as glam as everyone else either.
I'm just excited. I think this is France's first time on one of these mixed international seasons. Did
she win? No. She was a finalist. Yeah.
Okay.
I need either the Big Bertha or Piche back.
I don't remember.
Piche was season two.
Also, don't of France. Like, I don't like Hannah's gown. It's like, what Marshalls did you shop at?
Yeah. See, but that's the thing about a lot of the Down Under girls when they go international. It's like they, for some reason, just the materials they have, they don't have.
But her step down gown, or not her step down, her finale gown was gorgeous. And she had looks on that season that were far superior to that.
A lot of these girls I've seen in much better stuff than what they're wearing for this promo.
I don't know about Scarlett.
Well, I'm not talking. Scarlett, I think, is the best looking one personally. Look at her with
it. She already put the crown on.
She put the crown on. She said, this is mine.
Work, bitch.
I don't know if Jombers has looked better than that.
Yeah, Jombers looks pretty good.
Yeah, but Mayhem.
But everyone else, Mayhem has looked way better than that.
I think Teresa's Dothy looked Kendall better, has than looked
better than that.
I think
Tia hasn't looked better than that. She looks the best she's ever looked.
Marina, I think, has looked better than that, but she still looks good.
I wonder if they just did like a royal red carpet theme. Is that because?
Well, season 8 of Drag Race All Stars was just Met Gala themed, which I think is such a...
Yeah, it's kind of
a hate when you theme something Met Gala, because the Met Gala itself is not themed. A theme, because the Met Gala is themed.
It always has a theme,
I was watching Salt Lake City Real Housewives, and there was a party that was Met Gala themed, and I was like, this is not Met Gala. What does this even
mean? Well, last thing I want to say about Your Care Versus the World is I'm excited to watch this season, but... especially to hopefully redeem itself from the first one, because I felt like the people who should have won did not and went home way too early. But I wish that the promo made me more excited. Like, I loved how the last one was this gladiator kind of theme. Like, it was just really specific. And this doesn't give me that. But who knows? Maybe it'll be a really impressive season.
I think Marina, Hannah, and LeGrand Dame are clear front runners.
Same. Well, I think... that brings us to the end of the episode.
We didn't fawn over anything.
I know, which is the last thing we got to do. So.
Oh, sorry. I probably cut you off.
I know. Wow.
Wait, we didn't do the thing that you told me to prepare for.
Look at me. I'm the host now. So yes, this is our fawn of the week. Just a last chance to give a shout out and end on a positive note. Who wants to go first?
I will.
Sure.
Slay.
My fawn of the week, I've already told you about this, is Dua Lipa. Mainly.
Just in general.
I love Dua Lipa.
Well, in the preview for the movie Argyle, or Agent Argyle, whatever it is, she looks so goddamn perfect. And I hate it, but I love it. And it took me forever to realize it was Dua Lipa. And she looks so good.
I love Dua Lipa so much.
And, like, good for her. She's acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's acting.
Hopefully it'll be better than her in the Barbie movie.
Yeah. That wig.
She's releasing... She's doing really innovative stuff and, like, bringing back things that should have never left, you know?
She's learned to dance, too. Because if y'all saw the... what was that? Houdini music video?
Houdini.
She was, like, actually dancing.
That
was
your idea. Steal my idea. Steal my idea.
I'll cut it out. I'm sorry. It was
take two.
It was involuntary.
That's my moneymaker.
What's your fawn of the week, Fawn?
My fawn of the week is being 20 in my 20s. because this is my last few days of my 20s.
Oh, yeah. We're coming up on your birthday, aren't we?
It's so sad.
You're already 30 to me because we celebrated it at Drag Bingo.
Yeah. As of today, what's today? The 13th?
Mm-hmm.
I've got 5 days.
Oh, my God.
Five.
Have you got any big birthday celebration plans?
Mark and I have like talked about things. I'm kind of being hands off, except for the fact that I was just like, these are the people that I do want invited, and these are the people that I don't want invited.
So damn.
The not invited list was very short, but
I love. My fun of the week is going to go out to Gina, who is a entertainer in town. She competed. Just Gina. She competed in Miss Magic City Comedy Queen. And for a very, very, very long time, I felt like I was one of the only entertainers like consistently doing comedy in Birmingham. And she was one of the first ones that I saw who was also doing that. So I'm always really proud of the work she does. And she is one that always surprises me. And I never know what to expect with Gina. So I just want to shout her out.
Flapjack said, if you're not always doing campy comedy drag, you're not a campy comedy entertainer.
No, I said if you're not always doing campy comedy drag, you suck. So thanks everyone for listening to another episode of
Flapping and Fawning.
Thanks for being here, Patty.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to
Flapping and Fawning.
Music by Elliot Nass.
Promotional art by Danny Lee.
Hosts are Flapjack.
Oh, hey, that's me.
And I'm Fawn. You can follow me on Instagram at fawn.fawn.fawn.
And you can follow me over at Instagram as well. And pretty much any other social media platform at flapjacquelin, FLAPJACQUELINE.
Connect with us on social media on Instagram at Flapping and Fawning Pod and on Twitter at Flap and Fawn Pod.
Oh, and make sure you check out the links in our bio to buy some merch. You can also connect with us via Gmail at flappingandfawningpod@gmail.com. See you next time.
Bye.
Ta-ta.